evening. You're the first to arrive.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello? Still here.
Understood.
Hello? Okay.
I assume you want to wait for another person, correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
I believe that somebody else arrived, but I didn't hear.
Hannah.
How are you, Hannah?
I'm fine. Thank you.
So let us begin. We are starting with Pasuk 353 in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashah Lech Lecha, section 33. And I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud, Kut Shabarisu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urkimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urkimu. Leakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavalte. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenehu. Pasuk 353. Ta'ana Beraza Dimat Nita Kol Inun Diatu Begilgula denishmatin yachlin layachtama berachamei zivuga ilchon wial chaytaru avrayayo shayama yikad menu acher berachamim Shapir Kamaru Acher Daisa Vial Kane Kashim Zivugin Kameya Yakut Shabarifu Vial Kola Vadai Isharim Darke Hashem Kuti. The translation. We have also learned that according to the secret of the Baraita, the mating of all souls which are reincarnated but have no soulmates can be performed before their time through mercy. This means that he may proceed and marry someone else's soulmate. This is the meaning of the warning. Women should not be married on a feast day, but they can be betrothed, because another man may precede him through mercy. And what they said is correct. The term another man is exact. This is the reason why it is difficult for the holy, blessed be he, to bring couples together. Above all, assuredly, the ways of Hashem are right, and all he does is good and right. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. To explain, Hashem's mercy is to the woman. If a female soulmate is married, then how does she meet her soulmate and marry him? Only two ways. Both are difficult for Hashem, since it causes pain for one or more people. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Are we talking about divorce and marriage?
Divorce is one of the reasons, one of the ways that a couple can come together and be married when one or both of them are already married to other people. Through the merit of one or both of them, it's time for them to come together as the cosmic soulmate marriage. And both one or both people are already married. How do they get married in a society that says that you can only have one wife or one husband? So how do you make that happen? And one way is through divorce. And another way is to create a widow or a widower through the death of the other person. And both of those create pain for people.
To create?
Go ahead, say again.
You said to create a widow, mean create a death? You mean someone dies, not at the hands of the wife, right?
Not at the hands of the wife, no, but someone dies so that the woman or the man become a widow or a widower. And now they're free to marry their cosmic soulmate.
Okay.
And that's the only two ways, divorce or the death of the person, that's the only two ways for a cosmic soulmate to take place, since Hashem has brought other people together in marriage. Because otherwise, the woman might have to wait 20, 30 years before her soulmate is ready for this cosmic soulmate marriage. He has to go through his tikkun and build up his merit, or she does as well. In our current framework. And so the only way they can get the cosmic marriage could take place, the only way populations could grow is if the woman is allowed to marry someone who's not her cosmic soulmate, then she has children, but then it's time for the cosmic soulmate to happen. And so she has to either get divorced or the man has to die.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's the first I heard, that a soul comes down into a body and marries the soulmate, but marries because they have children to populate the world. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
One of the reasons that women choose to come down is to have children. Because if they didn't, it would just take that much longer for the process to complete.
Right.
So they come
right
down and they have children with men who are not their cosmic soulmate. They have children with people that they've married.
Mm-hmm.
And if all of a sudden one day happens and their cosmic soulmate is ready to get married to them, but they're already married, how do you make that happen?
Okay. So when the female soul comes down to have children, she's doing the mikvah for that mate she married and also for herself, correct?
Correct.
What was this with a woman should not be married on a feast day? I don't understand that statement.
Well, what do you understand the term feast day to mean?
Well, that's what I don't understand.
Well, a feast day is a holiday. It's a day that has the various sefirot have risen. The physical has risen to some level of connection with the spiritual. And what Rabbi Ashlag is saying, because it's in capital letters,
mm-hmm.
that to get married on that kind of day, that situation, there's a greater frame of judgment in holidays than in a regular day. Why is it a greater frame of judgment? Because there's more unity, and the ultimate purpose of unity is to manifest judgment, because mercy has only one purpose, and that's to provide an outlet for the people who are not following the Torah. Mercy's purpose is to provide time or space, being time, the distance between the cause and effect. That's what teshuvah is. It's the ability to return to the past, fix the actions that were not good, and then return to the present. But if you're in a day where the sefirot are more inclined to be unified, you're going to be in a day where there's greater judgment. And so a woman getting married on a day where there's greater judgment is going to cause a lessening of the mercy associated. Because if a woman is not marrying her cosmic soulmate, and she's going to get married and have children, those children are not supposed, in one sense, those children are not really meant to happen, because that person she's marrying isn't her soulmate. So the two of them are bringing children that really were not part of the plan of creation, because what was supposed to happen in a perfectly judged world, the marriage should bring children that relate to the two parents. And now, because they're not perfectly judged, the children that are coming are not supposed to be there in a certain sense. Obviously, they are supposed to be there because Hashem created the possibility that these children would come. But that's why souls have to be created all the time in order to provide children to these two people that really aren't supposed to be married together. But if they didn't get married when they were in their 20s, they may not get married until their 80s, because that's when the two of them have reached their tikkun and have reached the merit of getting married together. And it seems complicated. How could it be that these children aren't supposed to be here? And in one sense, they're not supposed to be here because they were not part of the original plan, because children should only come through soulmates. But in another sense, they need to come down because they have to correct all of that. And if a woman would have to wait past her childbearing years to marry her cosmic soulmate, she would never have children. And that defeats the plan of creation, the part of the process of growth. That is, the essence of Hashem is to share and to grow and share more, to have more vessels to share with. In the endless world, there were 600,000 souls, 600,000 men, 600,000 women. But now we have more people. Well, we know that the souls that didn't complete their corrections have split into greater numbers. But what are the children? What children are they drawing? They're drawing children that are not as righteous. They're drawing children with souls that have greater correction to make. Is it confusing or is it clear?
Well, I just wasn't sure if it wasn't that statement wasn't associated as to why they had to divorce, or, you know, if it was linked to the divorce or the death of one of them.
No.
But I can see it doesn't.
No, it doesn't relate to the divorce or the death of the of one or the other. The idea of the feast day is a day that the physical world has elevated to the spiritual. And like on Shabbat, it's a complete elevation. But on the holiday, they don't go quite as far. You know, the Keter of Malchut may grow to Tiferet of Zeranpin. But that's not complete. Like on Shabbat, the Keter of Malchut goes to the Keter of Zeranpin. Not that we think that Keter is part of Zeranpin, but it is. It's part of what the Ari talks about in some of the essays that we've read.
Well, that's why it says this is the reason why it's difficult for the Holy One, blessed be He, to bring couples together. It isn't a simple process necessarily.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, couples come together out of lust,
mm-hmm.
and they draw children out of lust. But children brought through lust is not going to be a righteous soul. It's going to be a soul that's very brought through passion or a soul brought through lust is also going to be lustful.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn in reincarnation that the soul that is brought is based on the affinity between the husband and the wife at the moment of conception.
Right.
Should I go on to the next verse, or should we stay here?
I think you can go on. If Malka wants to go on, it's okay with me.
Yes, ma'am. That is perfectly fine. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Verse 354. Rabbi Yehuda Shelah Leia Le Rabbi Elazar Amar Haraza Femila Yedana Inun Deato Begildulad Benishmatin Meanatar Leho Zibuga Shelah Leia Kitiv Mana aselachem, lenotarim, lenashim, wigomer uktiv lahu, lachat aftem, lachem wigomer, parshata divne binyamin, o kach lial hai taninan. Shema yikad menu, acher beraya rachamim. The translation. Rabbi Yehuda inquired of Rabbi Elazar, I am aware of the secret of this subject. Therefore I ask, where do those souls that are reincarnated, but have no soulmates, find their spouses? And he responded, it is written, how shall we do for wives for them that remain? And you shall catch every man his wife. Although this passage deals specifically with the sons of Benjamin, it actually deals with the reincarnated souls who may precede their friends and take their soulmates away from them through mercy. Therefore, as we have learned, lest another precede him with mercy. My commentary is that with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I felt like that verse is basically very much explaining the verse before. I think if that one had come first, I would have been able to understand the previous verse a little bit better.
Well, that is what the Zohar is like. Many times it will have verses that will explain a previous verse, and we just didn't understand that first verse. We get to it and it becomes clear. But it's really the way the unconscious mind works.
Mm-hmm.
Because the unconscious mind is not based on logic. It's based on feelings. And the Kabbalah attempts to explain the difference between emotion and a feeling. An emotion we all understand. We become reactive when we feel emotions. Being passionate is an emotion. Love, hate, joy, happiness. These are emotions. But we also have feelings. We walk into a room and there's a person in the room we never saw before. And we have a feeling that we're supposed to meet them. We have a feeling that this is someone that's important in our life. Or we have a feeling that this is someone really negative and we should stay away from them. Feelings are not emotions. Feelings come from our unconscious level. And another word for feelings is intuition. Because I can't explain the feeling. I can't justify the feeling, but the feeling just is. And that's what this verse is, as you said, it's explaining the previous verse. But the previous verse is really dealing with this concept of preceding him with mercy. Not the man who's getting the mercy. It's the woman who has agreed to come down even though she doesn't have to. But she's promised that she will be married to someone. She's promised that she will be joyful and happy. And in order to do that, she has this desire for children, because women have a tendency to want children. And if she can't be married to someone, how does she get a child? In a holy way, in an acceptable way. In modern age, we have women finding ways to have children without getting married. So, you know, that's part of the generations. Tikkun.
They mentioned the sons of Benjamin here, and we know how the Benjamites had to go out and catch a bride, you know, with Tuba.
In the book of Judges.
Right. Is that hinting that the sons of Benjamin are the ones who came without their soulmate, and so they're really marrying someone who isn't their soulmate, or is it the opposite? They're their soulmate.
You know about the in the book of Judges, there's this horrible event where 11 tribes attack the Benjaminites because they did not handle a victim of a rape properly. I hope you know what I'm referring to, because I don't remember the chapter.
I do.
Okay. And so on the physical level,
you know, the tribal.
Benjaminites were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there is this holiday called Tu B'Av, and the Benjaminites, they went out. Basically, there was a vow made by the 11 tribes to destroy the Benjamites and also not to let any of their daughters marry a Benjaminite. So there was no way for these few men that were left to be married. And so they realized the problem with their with the vow and with what they had done, so they arranged for the Benjamites to meet their wives by going out on Tu B'Av. And so the last 25,000 or whatever it was of the Benjamites, or 2,000, I don't remember the number, but those people got married, and they started to rebuild the tribe of Benjamin. Now, if you're asking, were those people left? Were they marrying soulmates? The answer is probably not.
Okay.
Because they had caused the condition that they would be destroyed by the 11 tribes, by the way they handled the particular rape. So we should say these are not men who were entitled to be married to their soulmate. So, but the, since they were marrying women that weren't their soulmate, so the statement is, although this passage deals specifically with the children of Benjamin, it's actually dealing with and explaining the previous verse of how does somebody marry someone who's not their soulmate.
And I guess with the sons of Benjamin, it's an example of Hashem's mercy. Always making a way where there seems to be no way.
Correct. And I'm going to make a statement which I've made before, but it may not have had as much impact. For every mitzvah, there's a time not to do that mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And for every mitzvah you're not supposed to do, there is a time to do that mitzvah. So we never have a perfectly clear direction on what is proper behavior. That's my opinion. But I'm going to run away now and say we're out of time.
Okay.
But if you have any questions, tonight is questions and answers, so we can have that discussion later.
All right.
Shalom.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom to all.